Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
Welcome back to the show, Money Grows on Trees podcast, and I've got the pleasure and the privilege and the honor of bringing on a guest today to have a chat about money. It's none other than Melbourne Cup riding, Caulfield Cup winning jockey Corey Parrish. What's up, man?
Hey, how are ya?
Great. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate
Thank you for
it.
Having me.
You're welcome. This is a bit, is this your first podcast episode?
Yeah, it is.
Well, welcome. You look like you're a natural already. So for everyone who's listening into this, we're actually doing this, Corey and I, just to make it even harder for him, because I know he loves a challenge. We're doing this live in our Facebook group, Money Grows on Trees. So a lot of my podcast episodes go in live into this group before they go to the podcast. So if you want to join the Facebook group, head to my Instagram and click Facebook group and jump in, and you can watch Corey and I talk about none other than money. Anyway. Corey, man, do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and kind of how we met?
Yeah, look, I've been in Australia now since 2012, moved over from New Zealand. I've been a jockey since I was 15. I'm now 32. Struggled over there. There's not a lot of money as a jockey in New Zealand. It's a lot harder. So opted to come over and have a different lifestyle. Never thought of being able to be in the big races, but always it's always a dream. And so always struggled along that line and been terrible with money, had a lot of debt in New Zealand. And that was probably the hardest to really pay off the debt. I never paid myself a wage, any of those sort of things. So money was always just one group. I didn't understand money very well. And sort of moving forward from then, I was lucky enough to win a Caulfield Cup. And also still at that point, I never paid myself a wage, never had that, and did pay off quite a bit of debt, but also spent a lot of money. And winning the Caulfield Cup, that money disappeared very quick. And you don't realize how fast it can actually go if you don't maintain it. Mm. Moving forward from then, I won another Group 1 SA Derby. And at that time, I had, in between the Caulfield Cup and that, I had managed to get a business manager. He sort of helped out my accounts, made me pay a wage, and got me to open up a raise account and put that in. And so that was really at the beginning, right before I then met you at a fantastic event that I was at, and just opened my mind even more on the money side and how you can utilize money. So that sort of got me even more intrigued. And then I found your book and it sort of carried on from there.
Awesome. So, I mean, it's amazing. So the jockey journey, like anything as a professional athlete, you started when you were young, 15. And I dare say, because you're so focused on that sport and becoming the best the best in the world, that you don't probably pay a lot of attention to things like money and other stuff, right? You're really focused on that one thing, which is becoming a great jockey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the hardest thing, because your money, it's not like a normal 9-to-5 job every week where you know what you're going to get at the end of the week. Some weeks, on average, I might get $2,500 a week. Some weeks I might get $100. It really depends on the more I ride and how much I do. And that depends on your ability and how well you're liked at the time. It's a very cutthroat game, and you're forever having to prove yourself to get the rides.
Yeah.
So that's really the hardest.
So the income is lumpy. So it's uncertain. It's quite lumpy. but especially the windfall income that you get. Let's say if you win, which is incredible. For anyone who's listening in, to win a Caulfield Cup in Australia is big. It's big. To even ride in the Melbourne Cup is big. And Corey's done that. So you won a group one or a couple of group ones, and you had some windfall income. When you win a group one race, you obviously get paid the prize money for that race. And you said just before that, you know, disappeared quite quickly. So I guess too, as a jockey or a professional athlete, you do get this windfall income that comes, and it can disappear quite fast.
Yes, absolutely. And without sort of understanding the money side and how to utilize that, before you know it, it's gone. Like it was just under 70,000 that I won winning the Caulfield Cup. Now, that's a lot of money if you put it into practice properly, but it's not a lot of money if you get rid of it pretty quick. It disappears very fast.
Yeah. So if you don't give it a job, or as I say, my new book, actually, Give Your Money a Career, which is better than a job. If you can do that, you know, it's kind of like go broke investing your money. If you want to go broke anyway, that's the way to do it, right? So when did it all so you said that your manager, you had a good manager, he taught you how to kind of micro invest, and then you stumbled across my book. Well, we actually met at that event, and then you grabbed my book and we've done some work together. And so what's your money mindset like now after learning more?
Look, I understand it. I still struggle with it. I have to just think back all the time. Do I really need that product? and basically the book, I've listened to your book. I love the audio part in it, which is easy. It's an hour and 45 minutes long, and it's actually nothing. I make a lot of riding gear, and I actually put it on again just a few days ago, just to retrain my brain again. And I think the best part is when you talk about saying like $20 an hour, instead of thinking things of that, oh, it's only $20, just think of it as that's an hour of work. And I also have another business where I make riding gear. So being a jockey, I make, you know, saddles, girths, those sort of things. So I have that as my business as well. And so when I'm there working, I roughly pay myself $50 an hour. So I know that hour is $50 is an hour of me sitting down making gear. And that's the best part. But I still have to just keep training my body to go, do I really need it? Do I?
Yeah, that's so good. What a great, that's a good lesson. You know, when you think of money as time, you're apprehensive to spend it on things or at least think about spending before you spend. It's just such an easy thing to do, automatically just spend money on stuff. It feels good for a lot of people, especially if you're a spender archetype. It's like you get joy out of spending money. But if you talk about what you just said there, Corey, which is money is time. And if you have to sit down and create riding gear, $50 an hour, you pay yourself with that little side business. And that would prevent you going out and spending $50 on stuff that you don't get a lot of joy out of, I suppose.
Yeah, just basically this last July, I've managed to pay off my second car. And naturally, and I also talked to you about it because I sent you a picture. I love my cars, and I go and take a car for a test drive, and I'm like, my car cost me $37,000. It's a V8 when I first brought it. Now they've gone up in the market, but at the same time, the car I was looking at was $72,000, and like I really want it, but I can't justify it anymore. Before, if it was a year ago and I'd paid that car off and hadn't read your book and hadn't understand that, I'd go, you know what? I'll just get another loan and pay that off. But it's so much better right now. I'm in a situation where I actually have no debt. I don't have a loan anywhere. Both of my cars are paid off. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have a credit card. And it's the best thing. I have my savings and raise, and I've now just got to utilize that even more and put that to work further, because I'm sort of at a situation where I still struggle now. I never used to have 20 or so thousand sitting in the side. I have that now, but I've got to a point where I'm actually nervous to put that further, because I'm like, I like that sitting there that I can access if I need to.
Yeah.
Do I really need to access that much? No, I probably don't, but in my mind, I struggle with that. So that's where I'm at now.
The good news, well, it's a great problem to have. I think if you, you know, congratulations on paying your debt off. I mean, it's one of those great things where you get rid of that chain that's around your ankles, that debt burden that you carry. It's just freedom. It helps you sleep better. There's a real return on investment of having no debt emotionally, in your health, you know, mentally. There's so many great things about that. So that's a wonderful achievement you've done already. And then having the 20,000 or whatever it is idle, which is great, gives you so much flexibility and security and peace of mind. But now the next step obviously is to just be learn to deploy a little bit of that capital into investing that allows your money to obviously work for you over time. Now you're already doing that with your raise, which is great. So you're already doing it. But I think it's the more money you save and the more money that you have sitting idle, you'll grow into it. It's not something that anyone should just rush out and do. Obviously it takes time and effort. So you've done some training with me and you're ready to do that, which is going to be exciting to watch. But mate, what would be, you've had such a good journey already, and it's only been a short one really, if I think about the last 12 months for you, what would be, it doesn't have to even be for professional athletes, but whoever, what would be your advice to them based on what you've learned so far?
Basically, not to think that the money's going to keep coming. I'm lucky. I was never brought up in a racing game. I was always brought up with not having a huge amount. So I had the problem of the debt. But I find a lot of the jockeys get a lot of money very quick. They don't really know what to do with it. And they get it at an even higher rate than what I get, because they've been more successful. But what happens is, if they get injured or they no longer can ride, their weight gets too high, they don't want to stop. And they've got a very lavish way of spending and really buy expensive things, have a lot of stuff. So they've got a lot of money that they're putting towards these, and that's gone. Where are they? What do they do? They basically got to sell everything up and go. So pretty much just expect it to disappear. Have that mindset of it's not going to be there all the time, because the money does come and go. Like currently I'm off injured. I'm not getting near as much as what I would normally if I was riding very competitive and through the carnival. It's not the same income, but because I've managed to maintain what I live with, and I've got my two jobs, I've managed to just keep that at a level playing field. I'm not earning a heap more, but I'm not going, well, how am I going to pay for this week? How am I going to pay for that? Because I don't have those. And that's really bottom line.
So what you're saying is that money and income can be very uncertain, particularly if you're an athlete, obviously with injury risk and so forth, a different level of risk for a lot of people. But, you know, it can happen to people in their job. They just think they're going to have their job forever. And, of course, the economy can change. COVID can happen. There's so many things that can happen. Which obviously is what you're talking about. So you would say then that having the ability to save and no debt, and having liquid investment assets as well, and the right mindset like what you have, that it's really like an insurance policy against the unknown future, right? Like you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And that's been the best.
Yeah. Well, you think, you know, people that don't do that, they don't think of, yeah, they've got a positive mindset and it's very optimistic, of course, but saving and investing and having no debt is really having management over your ego, so you can't say to yourself, well, I know what's going to happen in the future. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, like your ego is especially as an athlete, your ego is so well under control and well disciplined that you know that the future is not certain for you. And I think that's a wonderful mindset to carry with your financials. So, man, it's really good to see you, you know, this is really good to do this interview. So, because, you know, it's very, I think athletes especially, they can experience wealth quite quickly. So it's great to see you, you know, in play here. So let me ask you this. What's your financial goal now? Like what can you see happening in the future for you? Where do you want to go?
So I brought in my gear business because I knew I couldn't be a jockey for forever. I don't want to be a jockey. I don't want to be 50 years old and keep riding. That's just not me. I've already had too many injuries. I'm currently got a ligament got ripped off my ankle because I come off just over a couple of months ago. And it's already got screws in it now. So it's already a bad ankle anyway. I've had too many injuries. I don't want to keep riding for forever. Originally, I thought I would retire at 40. And I brought in the gear business early to start thinking of something to change over to. Unfortunately, that's actually gone too well for me. Everyone wants my products because I have good quality. So now I'm struggling to keep up with that and riding. But then going to the event that I met you and learning about residual income has given me an even more mindset of that instead of me retiring at 40, I'd like to retire at 36 and sort of of riding and have that residual income to bring and just working money differently. And that's really where I'm at now.
Okay, awesome. So that's where you want to go. So what I love about what you just said then was that, I mean, is there any jockeys that are 50 still riding?
Glenn Boss just retired this week.
Wow, Glenn Boss.
52 years old.
Wow, incredible. He has been riding a long time, Glenn Boss, far out. Okay, so you understand that you can't ride forever. So as an athlete, you're like, you know what? I've got an expiration date because physically in your body, you can only handle so many things. So you're like, well, I'll start a side hustle, you know, creating gear, which obviously took off and it's now, hey, good problem to have too, is that when it's successful, which is great. So you understand that concept. So you're transitioning out of your career early into financially, I mean, and I think that's a really good mindset to have too. Plus you're looking at other ways of developing extra income, residual income, and that's wonderful. So do you feel that is there any final kind of lessons that you've learned that we can share with any of our listeners that you want to share before we finish it up?
Final lessons, just as a whole, don't think money is the enemy. Basically,
yeah,
that's really, I've always stressed about money for a lot, and I'm just understanding that money can work for you. That's as a whole, that's basically what I could bring in.
Okay, that's really good. I love that. The combativeness, like let go of the combativeness you have against money.
Yeah.
Embrace it, right? That's so good. I love that. That's fantastic. And love the advice.
Yeah, just work on things. I'm just so happy that I can say I don't carry a credit card. I don't have those things. I've now just changed to, if I don't have that money, I won't buy it. Even as much as in my gear business is completely different to my riding. I ride and get paid. As a gear business, if I don't have those products or materials for that, I can't make it for someone. So I've got to have that money first to then make, and it's a forever ending thing where as soon as I get paid for some gear, I've got to buy more gear. And I've just got to a point that if I don't have that money, I just won't pay for it. I utilize that account to go. I wait until I get paid, then buy some products when I need to buy them.
Yeah. So you don't spend money you don't have, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clever. That's a really good final parting lesson for everyone, is don't spend the money that you don't have. I think that's really the only way to go broke, I think, is spending money that you don't have, because if you're not doing that, and again, what you said, you know, not having credit cards, is all that stuff. I know that it's not sexy and it's not like, wow, we just invested in this and now you're, you know, a decamillionaire. But these are sensible money strategies you can carry into your life that you've shared with us, that, you know, everyday people, professional athletes, it doesn't matter who you are, that will give you financial peace, right? And that's really the objective of trying to create happiness with your money, is having financial peace. Yeah.
Yeah. And the last big thing I brought was the actual laptop that we're talking on. Now, that was back in February of this year, and it was just over $3,000. They had interest free at the time, everything, and I'm like, oh, you know, I could put it through that and go. And I started typing it out, and it got to ask too many questions. And I'm just like, you know what? This is actually too hard. I've got the money there. I'll just buy it. Yeah. I can send it through the business. And I just was like, why have this and then not make the repayments, get interest put on it, start getting those issues? And I'm like, I don't need that. I can actually afford it. Just buy it. And it's just a good way to be. I was in that situation to do that.
Okay, great. So what you're saying to me is that money buys happiness.
Yeah. It really, I stress a lot on money, and it does make it harder in my relationship. My wife knows straight away when I'm stressing about money. And it was only the other day, she goes, you know, you're a little bit low. Are you right? And I'm like, yeah, no, I know I've got invoices to come. They're going to come back through. It was just when I injured myself again. So I didn't have that. Yeah. There's a transition of money that doesn't come through. So I've always got to just be careful. And I was just more careful with spending.
Yeah. So I think having that nest egg you've got, not having any debt, no credit card issues, no interest payments to make, I think those moments where money doesn't always come consistently, then it's a really good place to be in, because realistically it's impossible to go bankrupt if you don't owe anyone any money. Yeah. So it's really about protecting your downside. And I think that's what you've done so well here on this podcast episode, is help us, you know, just, we've been talking in detail about how the mind works at different things, you know? So I just want to say thanks so much, man, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome chatting with you. Loved hearing little parts of your story there, and well done on your first episode.
Nah, thank you very much. And yeah, all I can say is your book's amazing. Anyone that hasn't read it, just pay for it, buy it, listen to the audio, whatever you need to do. I'm still in the middle of doing my classes with you. So
yeah.
Just all I want to do is just improve now even more and get better and better and just get the understanding of it. So all I can say to anyone is, the first thing, just get your book and listen to it. And I can't wait to hear the next one, because
awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be super.
Great. Well, thanks for that little shameless plug there at the end, mate. You didn't have to do that, but I appreciate it. yes, the second book is coming out soon, and so stand by for that. But big thanks again to Corey Parrish. You're a legend, mate. Appreciate you coming on the podcast. And of course, if you've enjoyed this episode, go give Corey a follow on Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
P-Train, I think it is. P-Train. I'll put it up. Okay. I don't use a lot of Instagram. I never know what it is. Okay. My Facebook always links to it. So
give him a follow on Facebook, or send him give him something. But I'll get Phil to put it in the show notes. But thanks, mate, for jumping on. And of course, if you're enjoying this, if you enjoyed the episode, give us a share, leave us a review on the podcast, and shoot it over to Instagram stories. Give us a shout out, and I will shout you back out, give you some followers. And look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Money Grows on Trees.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at LloydJRoss.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.